Hey, y'all give God just some praise for just a moment for some good things going on today. Man, great to see all of you here today. Thank you for being here in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Nathan, we always thank God for that, don't we? But we also are very thankful that some of you today will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you will come to realize, hey, wait a minute, this is for me. This is something that God has done that applies to my life. I want to start here today. God's desire is that everybody would be redeemed. That is God's desire. God wants to leave no one out of heaven. And so today it's a very pointed message on how in the world do people, I want to just answer this practical question. How do I get to heaven? It's a straight question. Reverend Jimmy, not a pastor question, all right? But most folk out on the street, at the mall, by the pool, at the lake, on the golf course, I mean, if they were going to ask me a question, they would ask this question. How do we get to heaven, and who gets to heaven? I want to be very pointed to that. Those who follow Jesus Christ, okay, they bear this name that they gave us. It's a nickname, Red, but it's Christian, which really I like this name better. Those who follow Christ, okay, those who follow Christ have been forgiven and will go on into the kingdom of heaven. Now, does that make sense? Now, with this, it leads the question of the day. What about those who are not willing to give their lives to Christ? Hell awaits them. Now remember, what did I tell you? It is God's desire that no one would what? Perish. But we must be redeemed in Christ. And I just want to pray before I start this message today that we really have a clear understanding of what God is saying in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. That's all we're covering. But in 7 through 10, it's the nugget. It's the nugget. Coach Sullivan and I are colleagues. We get to play football together. Coach, this is one of those sermons. This is about blocking and tackling. Because guess what? If you can't do that, it doesn't matter what else you do in a game of football, does it? Watch this. In basketball, if you can't shoot a basket, it doesn't matter what play you draw up. There's some things you got to get done. Marriage, it really helps if you love your spouse. You know, that's kind of a fundamental. You know what I mean, Richard? You kind of want to love them, and that allows all of the other stuff to go on. So I just want to pray that God give us clarity and understanding. Now, listen, some of y'all are already getting the Holy Spirit itch on you. You know, I say, listen, if you don't know Jesus, who's going to save you today? How bad could this be? I really, watch this. How many of y'all have ever been forgiven and it ticked you off? I want you to know God's a God of forgiveness. Now, we're really going to allow God to eliminate some things. And so I hope that you will leave here today understanding who God is, and how much He loves you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much that You are real, that You will be, and that what You've stated will be true no matter who goes against it. And so, God, help us in this moment of time to really draw to You and find that You are God, and You're a God of hope, You're a God of peace, You're a God of love, You're a God of mercy, but You're a God that literally allows us to live differently. So help us in that, in the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, I want to ask you a question, very personal question. This is an interactive service. All you educators, guess what? I bet some of you heard this as they were helping, you got to go through all those instructional things as a teacher. How many of you all have heard this term? Interactive teaching. Well, we're going to have interactive service today. Interactive sermon. All right? We're in this together. Does that make sense? How many of you are aware that you have sinned? You have just absolutely sinned. And if you're not, go ahead and raise your hand because I'll make you aware of it. Now, here's where we got to start. Now, Reverend Crabtree, old great director of Southern Baptist churches here in the county, until we're aware of our sin, we have no need to know Jesus. Now, the church, in my opinion, Brandon, it's just my opinion, but it's accurate. My opinion, we've spent so much time for the past 50 years in trying to please you, we never told you who you are. You and I are sinners. Everybody included. Now, here's why we pick on each other. How many of y'all have seen people that kind of think like, well, now their sin's really bad, and it's worse than my sin? How many of y'all have ever seen these conversations? How many of y'all have ever heard anybody gossip about something that was positive? Nah, nobody goes, man, did you hear what so-and-so did? Man, they really bless these people. They love it. It's always, man, did you hear about so-and-so? Mm-hmm, that's good. It's always what? Some sinful thing they've been involved in. Here's what I want you to know. All of us need Jesus because everybody sinned. You know, I've had people before, they go, well, you know what? We heard that Pastor Steve said a dirty word. That's true. He did. That's most likely true. If I got mad, I might have messed up. Any of y'all ever messed up there? Now, Earl, here's what I could do. I could do like my predecessors and say dirty words and lie. But I would rather just be confessional. I need Jesus. Without Jesus, I can't live the good life. I am not naturally a good person. It's just true. What about the rest of you guys? We know Chris Allen ain't naturally good. Any weatherman that would allow it to be as hot as it has this week. I wish you'd get a prayer life. I mean, I just want you to look. We've had floods. Now we're having heat waves. And you get excited about it. This week we're going to break the record-breaking heat for the past 300 years. I'm not excited about that, Alan. And did you hear him? Did you hear him? And he goes, the other night, well, stay tuned for good news. The heat wave's going to break next week. I look at him and I'm like, it's about time. It's great, isn't it? Watch this. We all have sinned. Now, here's what I want you to know. It's very clear today. And I love you guys. If it was ever a message, I just asked God. I said, God, please let me be clear because sometimes I know I can mess up and I don't want to mess up. I want to be clear today. God has more grace than you have sin. Thank God. My sin will never be greater than God's grace. And that message has got to start piping through the church again. I love that song. I love the way Chad sings it personally. I like that, you know. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I remember hearing that song down at 12th and Chestnut at First Baptist, and I was thinking to myself as a child, this song got a little groove to it. You know, even the old ladies would kind of raise up on that song. This is my story. They'd all raise up in the choir. It's like white people almost getting rhythm. That's what I'm talking about is happening there, all right? Almost. You know? Now watch, I got new people go, they're in the congregation today. We got some new folks. Welcome, new folks. Let me just give you some promises here at Hillview. You will be offended and you will be blessed. All right, these are promises. All right, we'll both go on. I got people, they went, I can't believe he said white. Yes, we have white people at Hillview. We have black people at Hillview. We have combos here. We have people at Hillview from all over the world. And let me show you why we have it. Hold on. That's not what's exciting. Let me tell you what's exciting. Because there's only one way to come to Christ, and that's why they're here. There's only one way that God brings us to heaven, and His name is Jesus. Now, we left it with this last Sunday, that God is willing to freely give us His grace. Let's read verse 6 so we can catch verse 7, okay? Now, look at here. It's beautiful news today. God, in Christ, He gives to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Now, here's what we know about God. God wants to give it. How many of y'all have seen that in Scripture? God wants to give us grace. He wants to give us grace. So if you're sitting there today, I used to sit there and I think to myself, oh, there's no way God can love me. I really blew it this week. Any of y'all ever had that? How many of y'all have ever sat there and go, man, He's talking about me? I've blown it. You've blown it. We've blown it. Can we get that far along today? So don't look at each other and go, well, I wonder if they've sinned more than you. No. Look how sinful you are. You're sitting in a worship service worried about somebody else's sin. That's how polluted your mind is. See, at Hillview, we account for all sin, even church-approved sin. See, we have church-approved sin. You can be a glutton in the church and nobody says anything about it, but drink a beer and everybody comes apart. What amazed me, they were on the same list. They were right next to each other. Drunkenness and gluttony. I'm like, how come you boys never go over there and get a little of the gluttony side? Because it was their sin. So when you're a 450-pound preacher with five chins, it's hard to preach on gluttony. Just like if I was a little tipsy, it'd be hard for me to preach on drunkenness. Oh, gosh, we would never want to hear that sermon. I mean, what if I was up here? I'm going to tell y'all one thing. See what I'm saying? We all have sin. True. Now, here's what we need to do in the church. We need to get biblical. What does the Bible tell us we need to do with our sin? Do what? Absolutely. That's a great term. I love that. Cast it. And part of casting it is confessing it. I confess that I'm a sinner. So we're going to deal with confession today a little bit. We got to confess it. I've been wrong. God's been gracious. Do you hear the reverend? I've been wrong. God's been what? Gracious. In spite of me messing up, in spite of me not doing the right thing, God is still calling in my life, in your life, in our life to do what? To move on and do the right thing. How many of y'all glad to know that God will enable us to do good things? But only Him. Now let's look what it says. It's not us, it's Him. Just tell your neighbor, it's not me. Just go ahead and tell him. Come on. Jordan, it's not me. It's not you. Come on, talk among yourselves a minute. Y'all sound like a bunch of people that are frozen chosen. Y'all aren't frozen chosen. You're the activated chosen, okay? But you are what? Chosen. How many of y'all glad to be chosen? Come on, y'all to be a little more excited about that. Yeah. When you were in the third grade, how many of y'all remember being in third grade? How many of y'all still in the third grade? May this not happen to you. I was not a very coordinated person. In fact, in the third grade, I had a size 10 shoe on a size 2 body. Okay, it's very hard to walk when you have 10s on 2. I was very uncoordinated. And Josh, you probably never had this experience because God always granted you with athletic flow. Did you even have athletic flow in the third grade? Probably not. Okay. I had no athletic flow. And back then we had recess, and recess was not politically correct in my day. That's why we had like people that had created companies later on. We actually played dodgeball when I went to school. We like it. We busted other kids' noses. You can tell mine got hit a couple times. We survived, but it's kickball time. Oh, I hated kickball time. Because what happened at kickball time? You got two team captains in the third grade, and who was that? Those were the two most coordinated dudes for third graders. And they go, they pick everybody. Of course, the first round draft at the third grade kickball game is who? It's always the good people. And no matter what they say, you know why you got picked last. And there I was. I was, man, I wish they'd just pick me second from last so at least I can say what? I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as you. Now, come on, let's really talk about life. Isn't that the way we like to live? Why do we do this with Jesus? We go, you know what? Yeah, I'm not a real good follower of Jesus Christ, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. These are bad ideas. And God is calling us to live faithfully in Him. You ready? In him. Let's see what it says. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. In him, his blood, things change. Now, this is the moment. Now, church, I'm going to ask you to do something. You just sang a song. His glory fills the what? Temple. We didn't just sing that because that's a cool song and because Chad and Bobby can sing it. God has a reason for that song today. I want to ask you a question. Where is the temple? Is that right? Both of you. You get A's today in worship. Y'all make sure you tell God on whatever August day this is, you made an A in worship. You're right, Nathan. It's what? Us. So really, God's glory in him, because of him, because of Jesus, because of his blood, our temple is filled with his grace. And here's the mission and purpose of the church: to release his grace in him on the world, or into the world. So everything that we're about, we're a filled temple. So let me tell you something. If you go to one of these religious conferences, pay $19.95 to talk about how you need to get your temple filled, you wasted your money. Your temple's already filled. Your wallet's light, but your temple's filled. See, the only reason people can do all this stuff is because we never study the Bible. You see, he fills us. He redeems us. By his blood, we're made whole. It's not what we do. It's what he is doing in us. Isn't that neat? So, Debbie, that means this. You're redeemed now, but the total discovery of that, you're yet to discover, correct? So every day becomes an adventure. Does this make sense? In him, we have grace. We have redemption through what? His blood. The forgiveness of sins. In accordance to what? With the riches of God's what? Grace. How many of y'all glad to know you're filled with the riches of God's grace? Come on, let me help you with something. You are filled with heaven's possibilities. Don't ever forget that. I mean, that's the truth. That's not some positive slogan. That is the absolute literal truth. Why? Jesus Christ has forgiven us of all sin. You say, well, how in the world do I get forgiven? Ask. Now, here's where most of us get confused. We want to do something to impress God. Why do we want to have something to do with our salvation? Pride. Sally writes, there's a sage of wisdom. Pride. What else? Well, if I got something to do with my salvation, then what kind of relationship do I have with you, brother? I might be able to say this. Well, I'm living just a little bit better life because I've done this just a little bit better than what? You. That's very prideful. But see, in him, here's all we can say. Jesus has saved us all the same. Is that true or false? Come on, work with me today, guys. We're in it. Listen. At this moment of time, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, past status quo, church-going type stuff is not going to cut it in what's happening in America today. If you don't know who you are in Jesus Christ, you're going to be conned real quick by all the other gods that are moving right now. Watch this. I bet some of you have even been into this lie, that Islam and Christianity are the same. Now, see, some of y'all are going to send me an email. Well, Pastor Harris, I don't understand how you can be so closed-minded. We need to make friends with Islam and hold their hands and love them. Watch this. I'll give you this. We need to love them, and we need to preach forgiveness in him, in whose blood forgives us of all sin. But never are you going to hear me say that Islam is equal to Christianity. You know why? It's not true. Now, I know that's not popular, and right now, if I was saying this, everybody in our government would cringe, and they would say we need to write him up and put him on the list because he believes Jesus is the only way to heaven. Yes. If I did not believe Jesus was the only way to heaven, if I believed there were a lot of ways to heaven, Lanny, I wouldn't be here today. I would be at the lake, not preaching, probably recovering. from skiing. What were you all thinking? You still got to get real. Now, here's what I want you to know. Watch this. Am I worried about a mosque going up in New York City? No. What I'm worried about is a group of Christians that don't know how to stand up for Jesus. That worries me. There used to be a hymn. Stand up for... Y'all grew up there too. Now, Sheriff, I don't think the hymn went like this. Stand up for Jesus, Buddha and Islam too. Throw me in some Hindu and the world will be goo goo. That ain't the way the hymn went. Well, watch this. Some of y'all getting mad at me right now because that's exactly the way you think. Yeah. See, I make people ask me direct questions. I have my Muslim friends. My Muslim friends look at me and they say, do you believe I'm going to hell? Yes. I do. And then I say, this is what breaks my heart. The God I worship desires that you not. The God I worship sent His only Son to die on the cross and shed real blood. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In accordance with his glorious riches, so that you might not die, but you would live forever and ever. And all the God of hope and peace would love to dwell in you. Those are things and truths that change forever. Stand up for Jesus. We even had this metaphor. Ye soldiers of the cross. Boy, that language has left the church, hasn't it? You see, we were soldiers because soldiers are committed to a cause. And soldiers don't back off the cause when bullets fly. Soldiers stand. We've compromised what cannot be compromised. Let me help you. If you're going to live, somebody's going to offend you. Get over it. And guess what? I hope people talk about the Jesus in you. If you're offended because I told you that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, then I'm in good shape. I will take your persecution for the truth of God. Make sense? We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of who? Now, look at this scripture. And God not only wants us to fall short of the glory, He wants to place His glorious riches in what? Us. For His glory. And in that way, when God fills the temple, then the whole world is touched by who? God. You know how it's touched by God? Through you, in you. There's no place you can go that God won't be there. Isn't that neat? How many of y'all found God to be everywhere you were? Even if He desired you not to be there, God was still there, calling you to His glorious what? Grace. And He goes on and He speaks to us. In Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. How many of y'all glad to know that we have a God that lavishes His truth on us? Every day, here, more and more and more. Know me, love me, live in me. Even when it's tough. Anybody rejoicing over that today? It's good stuff. So I really want you to line up. Even though we've messed up, God said, I'm going to lavish my love on you. And He goes on and tells us. He tells us in verse 9. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in who? Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. Let me give you some good news. We're not done. How many of y'all need to hear that today? We're not done. If you got your spouse sitting beside you, just look at him and go, we're not done. Somebody need to hear that today. We're not done. And let me give you some good news. The best is yet to come. You go, how do you know that, Rev? My Jesus drinks wine. Now, I know your Church of Christ Jesus doesn't, and your Baptist Jesus doesn't, but to Jesus, he does. Yep. He don't drink cheap stuff either. He makes it. Judy, I bet you never thought you'd hear a Baptist preacher ever say that, did you? Not in all of your years. I'm going to tell you about his wine. It ain't like our wine. It's his wine. He says, I have saved the best for last. I will lavish my purpose, my fulfillment, my truth, my redemption, my forgiveness, my attitude, my heaven. What? On you and in you. So grab a hold of it. Amen. Now watch this. Three things today you should have gotten out of this sermon. It is for him. For him. In him. How many of y'all got that? For him. For him. For in him we are saved. Say that with me. For in him we are saved. There you go. Now there's no other way. Now listen, some of y'all go, well, I'm going to take issue with you. Well, good. Go to hell. I mean, I want you to know where I stand. Some of y'all confused. Tim, every bunch of people confused about me. They go, well, does Reverend Ayers, he accepts all people, so does that mean he believes in all gods? Absolutely not. I believe that God wants to save all people. That's why I'm accepting. But listen, I don't believe Buddha would do it for you. He's good, but not enough. Islam, man, it's got some good moral principles. You can't drink. Well, in public, it's kind of like being a Baptist. But now in Islam, here's where it's different. You can't get caught drinking because they kill you. Have you noticed that in Islam, how do they deal with sin? Come on, I want y'all to know, some of you liberals, I want you to really listen to me because y'all are fixing to get into a big problem. You want to have homosexual marriage in Islam rolling at the same time. You know what Islam does with homosexuality?
Kills them.
Oprah, she forgot to tell you that part, didn't she? You know why? That's because she's a TV personality and not a theologian. I bet she's never read the Quran. Your pastor has. She said, you've read the Quran? Yeah, I'm a defensive coach. I always want to know what offense they're running. Now watch this. Now, why am I preaching this to you? I don't know. We're building a whole mosque in New York City. This week, I've heard our government offer state land to a religious organization. Hold on. Can you imagine if the governor of Kentucky called the Reverend Steve Ayers and said, we're going to give you 100 acres of state land to build a church? Goodness! We would have every nut in America descending on Bowling Green, Kentucky, protesting the separation of church and state. Now hold on. And they would be correct. You see, we're trying to compromise. And let me show you why we compromise. Because we don't have the power to forgive. You see, we compromise because we don't have the power to forgive. I'm not worried about Islam. I'm not worried about Islam for a minute. You know why? It's not true. But here's what I am worried about. Why aren't we more convinced about Jesus? I don't want to get in a fight with Islam. I'm not here to have an Islamic fight. There's no fight. Elijah should have taught you that. You know, they had a little temple. They built Baal temple towers up there in his moment of time. And Elijah said, now this is paraphrased, all right? It won't be written exactly like it's in the Bible, but I'm going to give you what went down. Elijah said, y'all just bring your old Baal gods right on out here, and we're going to have the Super Bowl gods. And Baal built an altar to the altar of Baal, the false god of Baal. And he said, listen, dance around it. Read your book about it. Get your celebrities with it. And they all out there did a little bell dance. And they were dancing for some fire. They're doing a fire dance, Sheriff. A fire dance. And Elijah even looked and said, y'all need to shout a little louder. Shout a little louder. Elijah said, where's the fire? Guess what? There's no fire. Because there's no fire in a con job. Then Elijah said, I'm going to pray to the one true and holy God. Y'all remember this story? The one true and what? Holy God. He said, before I do, bring me some water. Because he was absolutely convinced of his God. Boy, I'll be glad when the church gets that convinced. I said, come on out here with your five pillars. Come on out here with your big sickle. Come on out here with your burka on. Because my God wants to save your soul. And he can see through what you got covered. See, you got to cover up what you can't forgive. And we can't forgive one another. For him in his blood, we are what? Forgiven. Now, guess what happened? Now, some of y'all are going to be bothered by this. You're going to be bothered by this. It's just going to break your ooey-gooey heart. Are you achy-breaky one? Y'all going to be upset? This is God. By the way, this is who? God. Some of y'all are going to be disturbed that God would do this. He did it. He set that altar on fire. He sent a fire from heaven. And when he did, he burned up 400 false prophets with it. You say, Pastor Ayers, you believe God will kill somebody? Absolutely. You know how I know? God killed his own son so you and I could live. That's an intensity that we just can't understand. Don't get all alarmed. And listen, I'm not being morbid. I'm just being truthful. Humans die. How many of y'all have come to that conclusion? Number one reason for death, so quit asking me when we get out of the hospital. Why did my grandfather die? Human. Why did he have a heart attack? Human. Why do we get cancer? Human. Why do we crash our cars? Bad driving skills. True? Scott, if you and I are going to ride a motorcycle, you know, we shouldn't be surprised when we walk into heaven and go, man, how did I eat the grill of that truck? Why am I here? And some people would say this about people who ride motorcycles, not smart human beings. My son says that. In fact, he even told me this. He said, Dad, you are never going to be cool, so I don't know why you think owning a motorcycle makes you that way. My son cannot stand motorcycles. He thinks it's a foolish decision. And I look at him, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, you just don't understand. Like, I'm back here, wah. I said, I'm feeling the spirit. He said, yeah, when you become a bug on the grill, that's going to be some nice spirit. And then I use the old motorcycle ride. But you know what? You could get killed doing anything. You know what he said? Well, I'll tell you what, Dad. If you get killed in a car wreck going to work, you know, I'm going to walk by and say, man, I love my dad. I'm glad he's in heaven. I know Jesus loves him. And you know what? He got killed going to work in a truck. He said, you get killed on a motorcycle, I'm going to walk by and go, there's my dad. Ain't got a lick of sense running around on two wheels. I said, it makes sense. Who redeems us? God does. Who loves you? God does. Who wants to lavish his love in you and through you? Y'all got it. So three things today. You should have got this. Y'all got this, right? For him and in him, right, Nathan? By his blood and only by his blood. So for him and by his blood, all things will come under him. So for Jesus, by Jesus' blood, under Jesus' authority, the world comes together. Now, here's the question today. Do you know you've been forgiven? And listen, we're going to have an altar call. People got saved at 8 o'clock in the morning. Guess what's going to happen right now? Some more of you are going to get saved. I didn't preach today so you'd be entertained. I preached today so that you might understand the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be forgiven of your sin and you might end up in heaven. I think that's the best deal going. What do you think? Yeah. I don't know anything better than that. Now, for some of you religious people, well, I need to go deeper than that. If you need to go deeper than that, somebody sold you a bill of goods. And usually what we bought into, what I call it, the right-wing conspiracy of Christianity, is we've taught morals over grace and ended up in as much heresy as people who have neither. It's the cross. It will be the cross. It will stay the cross. Hanshell, how many times you heard that come out of my mouth? How many times you and I had a discussion where you said, Pastor Ayers, I've done a lot of bad things. I said, Hanshell, I'm not worried about your bad things because I'm convinced of God's grace thing. There it is, Lynn. That's the real deal. Some of y'all going to get saved today. Guess what some of the rest of you are going to do? You're going to decide about it and you're going to say crazy things like this to me and I love you. Well, I'm not ready yet. God is offering to love you and take you out of hell. And here's what you're saying. I'd like to stay in hell another week. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. How many of y'all ready to get out of hell? Because I'm going to tell you what hell is. It's a life without Jesus. You want to find hell, you can find it all by yourself. Watch this. You know what marriage is without Jesus? Hell. You know what raising kids is without Jesus? Hell. You know what going to work every day without Jesus is like? Yeah. Debbie, even if you're cutting women's hair and making them feel good about themselves, which that's a dangerous job. Because you ever twist a woman's hair the wrong way that they think God hadn't designed it to go, who do they attack? You. Never, Debbie, have you had a woman look in the mirror and go, God gave me bad hair. You've never heard that, have you? Fix it! We want each other to fix each other, and God is saying, I want to forgive you with my grace. Come on, get out of hell. Y'all cool with this? Some of y'all look shocked. A lot of y'all never heard a preacher say hell, have you? We got some new people in here. Man, thanks for coming. Y'all been to those real nice churches, hadn't you, where they got little nice preachers? Good to see you all today. I hope you're happy. Welcome to Romper Room for Jesus. I hope you didn't say any cuss words this week, because if you did, God's saying you're naughty, naughty. You need to quit saying those bad words and say dang it and darn it, which mean absolutely the same thing. See, it's time to get real, church. It's time to get real. I am a sinner, but God is a God of grace. I am misdirected, but God has given us a direction. I am subject to anything, and God said He's willing, Pastor Jamie, to put us under His everything. That's a good God. Amen. So listen, today some of you are going to be saved. If you haven't been baptized, we are strongly calling on everybody who is claiming to follow Jesus Christ to step up and be baptized. Now, if you were baptized as a baby, we honor that. We believe that that's a significant experience in your life. However, we believe that you need to have a conscious experience of you have decided individually to be baptized. Watch this. I don't see how those are in conflict with one another. Your parents had you christened or baptized because they wanted to make sure that you knew Jesus Christ. You know how loving that is? You know how merciful that is? They said, we want to make sure our child's connected to Jesus Christ. So in an adult life, here's what you're doing. You say, Mom and Dad, God Almighty, I'm confirming that connection. By Him, in Him, and under Him. Amen? Y'all do those three things this week, and guess what's going to happen? Y'all thought I was closed. I'm not. If you get it for Him, by Him, and under Him, guess what? You'll automatically glorify Him. Isn't that great news? So today I'm going to call you to the altar, as we get to do every Sunday. I don't know how many more we got left to do this. I don't. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm also going to be very clear with you. This is not a moment in history to play with Christianity. Now I'm going to tell you the truth so you won't be uninformed. There's a reason there's a mosque going in New York City. Let them build it, but I want you to know why they built it. The same reason that there's a mosque that sits on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It's a sign that they have conquered. Now hold on. Here's the reason this doesn't unnerve your pastor. I know they haven't. Because you see, I'm convinced. For in Him we are saved. By His blood we are forgiven. Under Him all things will come subject. And He will be glorified throughout all the earth. That's what it means to follow who?
Jesus.
So he may look like he's behind. At one time it looked like he is dead for a couple days. But then on the third day, what happened? Absolutely. You ready? Let's stand together. I'm just going to pray. There are going to be some people come to Christ right now. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus, you just pray right now that people will come to Christ. Will you do that? Say, Lord, watch this. We ought to give a prayer of thanks. How many of y'all are thankful today that you've been saved? You asked God in your life. You're under His blood. I mean, you ought to be thankful for that. I'm thankful. Richard, I'm thankful that you and I are going to heaven. I'm thankful that when tragedy hits your all's life, glory could be stronger than that moment. Can you imagine going through that with no glory? Whew. People ask me all the time, Pastor, how do people go through death and pain and terminal illness without Jesus? I said, you heard of Jim and Jack? Jimmy Bean and Jackie Daniels? A lot of people come friends with that because you know what? When you can't get through it, you have to numb it. You see, when you've been redeemed, you don't have to numb it anymore because God will get you through it. Come on, there's people going to be saved right now. Listen, if you know God's talking to you, asking you to be forgiven, if you know you've never been baptized, you come, you need to be baptized. We want that taken care of. Guess what? Get baptized next service if you want to. Get baptized this evening if you want to. Get baptized on Monday. We've had an exciting week. Jamie, you did some baptizing on Thursday, didn't you? We looked through the Scripture and that didn't disqualify, did it, Thursday? We could find nowhere in Scripture where it said, baptism's void on Thursday. We couldn't find that in the Holy Word of God. You know what He said? Every day they came and worshiped and God was a reality. Come on, church. Let's have church today. Let's let God save some folk today. Please, for Him, we are all saved. By Him, we're all redeemed. Right now, if the devil's trying to tell you you've sinned too much to come to God, I mean, I'll just help you. I guarantee you, nobody in this room sinned more than your pastor. You say, well, then why are you preaching? That's a good question. Because I was convinced and am convinced and will be convinced that right now, if you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broke your laws. I've just gone against your behaviors. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Guess what Jesus is going to do? Come into your life. Ken, this has just been my finding, okay? I've been up on the planet for 46 units. Those are years, by the way. I've never seen God refuse anybody. Now, Crabtree, you're a lot older than I am, and you've seen people come to Christ a lot longer. Have you ever seen, Crabtree's our associational director. Y'all may not know what that means, but he helps all of us pastors out. He's got an awful job. He's employed, and he has to put up with 47 pastors, and he likes it. There's a man of grace. You ever seen God refuse anybody? Wayne, you ever seen anybody asking God, say, nah, you're out punting you? I never have either. So when y'all come tell me, well, Pastor Steve, I feel like God can't save me, that ain't God talking to you. You see, here's the problem with the devil. He got a mellow voice. Old devil, he'll say, listen. He'll remind you of every place you've been, everybody you slept with, everything you've done wrong. Well, let me tell you what God will say. Grace, grace. God says, my grace is enough. This morning, I watched a young man come and receive grace. A while back, He told me God could never forgive a man like him. But this morning, Jesus made sense. May it happen some more. Jesus, as you draw people in grace, those who need to be forgiven, and that's all of us, if they would just respond, Lord. I feel your Spirit moving right now. May you just, God, move us forward. Those who need to be baptized, move us forward. Those who need prayers of healing, may we come. Those who need to pray for friends that are yet to be connected to Jesus, may we come and pray. Guys, there's pastors here. We can't save you, but we can tell you about it. We can't save you, but we sure can love on you after we get done. But we do have to do this, Mark. We need to get a name and people who God's leading so that we can call them back and tell them when they need to be baptized. That is something we can do. But that's all we can do. It's all we can do. So in the name of Jesus, for in Him we are saved. By His blood we are forgiven. And under Him all things work out for the good to those who follow in faith in Him. This altar is open. Come and be changed forever and ever. Come on. Come on. Come on.